Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chong, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everybody, and much mahalo. What an incredible day I had today. I mean, I talked to people all around the country today, and I'm not a name dropper, but I got to talk to some really incredible people. So I want to say thank you for allowing me to come in your home every Tuesday night, but I couldn't do it unless I had a great producer, and he's on the air right now. Hunky, are you there, Hunky Bowen?
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm excited. You know the people I talked to earlier. You know who I talked to. I'm so excited about our book, the debut of The Ring, and everything. We're going to be talking about that a little bit. But what's going on with Jesse Bowen? What's going on with you, sir?
Well, sir, you know, of course, we're working on this project, and it's, you know, really a great project. I truly believe in it and 100% behind it. And we're trying to constantly give it value. Now, I know in the martial arts community, you know, there's sort of like these different codes here that, you know, I'm not worthy and I'm the little guy and you know, if I got to pay for it, I shouldn't be involved. So I just like to take a moment and just talk about value, if that's okay with you.
Of course, value is very important. I've built that up for 30 years about trying to put people out there in front of the light. Because here's the thing. People who say they're not worthy, they are. The most humblest people I've met, who you've met a lot of them too, they're very, very, very proficient in what they do. But they deserve the recognition that I feel that the museum does, because we're not going to be here forever. And their friends, their family, whoever, they want them to remember what they did and what they accomplished in their lifetime. And that's what we're doing. We're allowing people to share their expressions in their own words. But mainly with this Sport Karate Museum history book, these are the ambassadors and the history journals I put together for 30 years. And you know me, I'm not. Well, I'm a fanatic about it because I like authenticity. That's my magic word. But yes, sir, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Well, you know, and the thing that we really want martial artists to know, and I think you said it, you know, very well yourself, is that, you know, we have all been here and, you know, for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And as you look back over our journey, you know, it's like the farmer that, you know, that has the feel. And, you know, he's a farmer. He's not a gardener. You know, a garden is something that's much smaller. You know, but when you're farming, and this is how martial artists, as you look back over your life, and it is not what you're bringing to your life right now, but it's what you're bringing to the life of others. And when you can look back and see what you have done in your life, you know, that's the greatest appreciation, you know, and you hope, you know, when your time comes, you can look back and you'll be there and you hear this great voice that says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," that you've done something that you can do. So your legacy of who you are, and you know, the museum is really about a museum. This is where you store the historical artifacts and the knowledge. So that's what we're, you know, really trying to bring together, you know. And, you know, of course, you have all the memorabilia that people have given and left to you and all of that. But the book, it gives that way for those things.
Did you walk into the teaser, Hunty, that I had at the event? Did you actually walk in there and see some of the things I put in there from the museum? Did you actually go in there and look?
Yeah, I did.
Wasn't that cool?
I did. And
I mean,
well, that's what we're saying is that, you know,
belt. Yeah, I mean, so cool. It was cool. But What else is going on with Hunchy Boy? You got a podcast going on. You got some other stuff going on. What you got going on?
Well, you know, I'm trying to really get to that other part of announcing that what I decided to do, you know, for the museum, of course, we have two magazines that we're putting out. And one of them is called the Martial Arts Masters and Pioneers Magazine, which is really the focus on the people that are featured in our books. And then we have the Martial Arts Extraordinaire, and that's the magazine that features on people over 50 years. So what we've decided to do today is that to support the museum is to give the museum its own magazine. So that the museum,
wow,
that the people are featured in the book,
you.
You know, they're going to have their own magazine, and a lot of the photographs and artifacts, that's where some of these things can be displayed so people can really have an understanding of what are the things that you have. So, you know, that's the big thing that we're working on, you know, right now. Of course, you know, our event is coming up, but, you know, that's the thing I want to leave tonight, and which is most important, to especially get your listeners, the history generals, to realize that we are trying to give a lot of value. You know, we're not, you know, so, you know, just like with yourself, the museum is not a Hall of Fame. It's designed to be a museum. So what AMA, the foundation, is that the foundation is actually going to provide a grant that will allow for that book, for the magazine, to be able to be a free magazine, but it will be a place that the people are in the book, and the artifacts, all those things can be displayed, even though they cannot travel to Sugar Land, Texas, to be able to see
well,
it.
You
know, but the magazine
you,
will
you
be able to provide
me,
that.
Sir, you know what I did for you? You asked me a couple of days ago to put pictures of all the of stuff we have in the museum, and I put it on the AMAA radio. It's all the pictures there. I had a block book go in and take pictures, and I did that just for you. So you can go to the AMAA radio page on Facebook, and you can see all the museum. I did that just for you
what?
The other day because you asked me. You said you were going to make a virtual tour. Now, I did the pictures for you. So, anyway.
Well, Ryan, those are the things that we can do is to, and that's
wow.
what I said, and that's what
magazine.
We were asking.
That's cool.
Yeah, for you
well,
know, for the, for
I,
everyone
I
to participate.
I'm overwhelmed, but you know, I expect that from you because you really have a vision, and that's one thing I told some of these people today that I talked to that are very very much in tune with what we're doing, and you know, I'll just say one group that called me. And I'm very excited about this. Do you realize that DreamWorks was at the event last weekend? I didn't realize that either till a couple of days ago. And they were checking me out. And I said, why didn't you tell me you were going to be there? And they said, well, we didn't want you to amp it up. We didn't want you to change anything. How cool is that, Hunky? How cool is that?
That's
you know
cool, sir. That's
is.
Cool.
Yes, sir. Well, but you know what? I couldn't have done it, even right now, to be on this radio show if you hadn't believed in what I was doing. And I want to say thank you to the public, to the thousands of people that listen to our show, to our fellow members. I want to say thank you, sir. I really appreciate what you've done and what we're going to do. So God bless you, Hunchy Jesse Bowen. And I'll talk
all right,
to you.
All right, sir. Good luck.
Thank you. Well, that was Hunchy Jesse Bowen, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, he's such a visionary for what he's doing, and I want to thank him. We're going to get our own magazine, but before we talk about that, let me introduce my co-host, AJ. Are you there? AJ Perry.
I'm here. How are you?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Great. It's
How's Ohio?
It
is it cold week. Or is it springtime?
No, it's
yet?
Nice. It was nice. Actually, you know, from where I live, about 30 miles south of the lake, it's probably 20 degrees warmer than it was in Cleveland today. But it's
cool.
Beautiful weather.
Cool. Well, listen, don't go anywhere. Let's get the Wolverine, Dean. Dean, where are you at?
Yes.
We're talking to
you. I'm here.
Hey, buddy. How you doing,
hey.
Wolverine?
Doing good.
How's the coward coming along?
It's coming along great. We finalized the soundtrack. They finalized the artwork. We had Kira do the artwork. She actually drew it all, and we wanted a kid to do it to set it apart. But she drew the artwork. The artwork is in. They'll have everything put together and should start having CDs go out for sale probably the end of next week or after. They said the end of next week, so I'm going to try to keep them pushed on that. We actually have part two is actually in final draft and is being finalized.
I got to say something to you, and this comes directly from my son. I want to say thank you for allowing Garrett to be part of the Coward. How cool is that? I want you to beat him up good.
Yeah, I've watched Garrett grow, and I'm really proud of Garrett because, he's teaching and he's doing a good job and he's doing the right thing. And, he's teaching and doing his part. And when I seen him do his stuff at your event, I was like, you know what, I'm going to get him in here, put him in the bar fight scene. Like I say, we added to the bar fight scene. We got a lot of people.
It's not my event. It's our event.
Right.
It's our event.
Well,
you know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to put him in there because he was doing so good. I know he didn't have time to come to the audition. So, like I say, we got a bunch of good ones in there. We put Andy in there. He's going to be in the bar fight, which is also a fight at Brody's Garage.
Hey, Dean.
Well,
hey, Dean.
Andy, let me introduce you. Dean, AJ, our special guest tonight is the guy that I'm going to brag about it for a minute. I'm asking to close both my living legends, once in Greenville, South Carolina, in front of the governor and all the generals and the colonels that were there and all the karate royalty of Mr. Corley and everybody. And then I had him close the event last weekend. Now, Andy, I don't know if he knew this or not, but DreamWorks was there. Now, I'm talking about the one and only Andy Wofford, and this guy is a musical creative genius. Andy, where are you at? Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Hey, buddy. You scared the crap out of me tonight because you waited 1 minute before you called in. I bet you were teaching, weren't you?
No, I was right here ready for you.
Okay, you made me nervous, though. You know that, don't you? Hey, again, what I need are people to make me nervous. I'm just kidding.
How are you doing, Andy?
Now, Andy comes from a man that we call Virgil Kinney, who we lost a few years ago. But Virgil became my friend, golly bum, 40, 50 years, I don't know, a long time ago when I was in South Carolina, living in the basement of Sam Chapman in the karate school, Greenville. But Virgil Kinney produced and created this young man that I've got on the radio show tonight, my special guest. Now, I say young man. I bet you, Andy, I bet you're pushing what, 50?
I'm 51.
50 or 60. How old?
I'm 61.
No, you're 61? I didn't realize you were that old. Now, what year did you make black belt, Andy?
I made black belt in 1976.
Wow, you are an old guy. Now, what exactly did Virgil teach you? I mean, did you become a mutt, train with everybody, or you just stayed with Virgil?
No, I basically trained with Master Kimmy and Master David German. Those are the two.
Oh, I remember David German. Yes, I do.
Yeah. And we started the U.S. Thai organization, and we joined David German in around 75 in that time frame.
Is David still alive?
No, sir. He died in 07. In 2006.
Now, I know that you, like I said, I bragged about you a little bit about being my closer, but when did you get the bug to become such a creative musical guy in karate? What happened then? Who got you involved with that?
Well, I've always enjoyed music, and in fact, I did my very first musical form in 1974 in high school to the Kung Fu Fighting song.
Cool. in a talent
contest.
Did you
win?
I won.
Or did you just blow the house down like you did in Greenville?
I won, and it was a hoot. Well, but I've always enjoyed pushing the envelope on the little things. Some people like it, some people don't. But I'm just out there having fun.
Well, you blew everybody away in Greenville and in Houston. God bless you. Now, you won some world titles here recently through the NASCAR organization, which is John Worley and Pat and Larry Carnahan, all the guys, Dennis Brown, everybody. Now, what kind of titles have you earned and won?
Well, I got four world championships in the NASCAR world, and I got over 25 top finishes in the world, and I competed way back. My first tournament was in 1970 in the Battle of Atlanta. So I literally did every battle tournament over
cool.
the years.
Well, you know, Andy, I'm so proud of telling you this. I'm not bragging, but I'm bragging about you. This weekend, I got to put Black Bocata in front of 37 countries. Now, I know that there might have been somebody in fighting that's done that, but nobody but the museum has put Kata in front of that many people. Now, we had 2,976 people watch you guys on Facebook, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's more than cool. But I want to ask you, what do you think about all that competition that was knowing that they were just as bad as you were?
it was awesome because we had them from, 26 years old, 74, 75 years old. And you know, everybody put their best foot forward.
Cottonwood.
And, I
love you're
it.
Seated. You know you're seated. At the next Cotter Wars, you know that, right?
Yep.
And, you know, the neat thing about the idea of showing respect to people like you is that, honestly, the thing that you're doing right now, Andy, is making a mark for people 20 years from now are going to remember what you did. Now, I'm going to say this because I've seen a lot. I was pretty much the guy that helped create Creative Kata in Texas. But I've seen people from like John Chung to George Chung and all the people in between. But you, what you do to your boogie, and that's what it is, you boogie. And you
no, that was a cha-cha. That was a cha-cha.
What?
It was a cha-cha.
Hey, yeah, you just jealous.
Now, there's people that hate it, Randy. There are people that hate what you do, but there's also people that love what you do. And then there's people that need to be educated to what you do. And that's what
the thing is, if I can make it fun and bring and draw people in.
Yes,
you
know, do.
And don't get me wrong now. I'm a good traditionalist too now. I do very good traditional forms and traditional weapons too. But the musical weapons is just something fun to do, and I move a little.
You know what,
I move Andy, a little
if I, you know, I worked for Six Flags for 35 years. If I had known you, I would have put you in my show without a doubt. You would have made me another $10,000. But I love it. I love it. Now, Andy, one more question. Have you ever done any things in Hollywood, or has Hollywood ever seen your talent? Have you ever done any movies or anything?
I've done some little acting here and there, but I never had a chance to put my martial arts on the musical stuff like that. I think it'd be kind of cool if I could.
Yeah. Well, Hollywood is a different demon, buddy, and you have to deal with it differently. And this is what Dean and AJ and Don Severin and my son are going to learn, because Hollywood is a different type of animal. Now, I got to ask you, when you were in your training, did you ever meet a man named Ridley Abel?
Oh, yes. He used to live
right there. Wasn't he a great guy? He was from Columbia. Yeah.
Columbia, yep.
Remember, man, I'm going to throw a name at you. You probably don't remember. Ronnie Barcoot. Remember Ronnie?
Oh, definitely. Superman of
the
South.
Do you really? Cool. You're Ronnie Bar Joe Lewis. Remember that?
I trained with Ronnie Barcute back in the early
days. No way. No
yes,
way.
I got a certificate with his name on it.
That's cool, man. Were you there when he fought Joe?
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah. Well, I heard Joe met him when he was knocking out. I don't know the whole story, but now, do you ever fight full contact, Andy, or you ever check
long time
there?
Ago?
Did you really?
We did a thing called Smoking Joe's back in the day, and we used to fight. There was a little club fight circuit down in Savannah, Georgia, and Jacksonville area, and I did that until I pulled one of my fingers off of my hand on my right hand.
I'm going to tell you a funny story. I'm embarrassed to tell you, but I think it'd be fun to tell you. AJ, you probably don't know this either. I know Dean don't know it. I fought three full contact fights, Andy, and the third fight, I fought a man named Demetrius O.T. Edwards. Remember him?
I know Demetrius Edwards.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this is what he did. Okay, I fought him, but then I was being interviewed afterwards, and the television, she was real pretty, I remember that, and she goes, "Mr. Lee, how do you feel?" And I go, "Well, I'll feel good once I move around and throw my kicks and blah, 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 blah." And then my trainer goes, "Gary, you've already fought." I go, "What?" I was hit so hard, Andy, that I've forgotten that I even got in the ring with Oak Tree. Now, I quit full contact. I quit, but I became a point fighter because I didn't like getting hit in the face, and I didn't like getting knocked out so hard that I didn't know where I was at. So that was my full contact career.
Well, my full contact coach used to be Warren Blanton out of Savannah, Georgia, and Warren moved up here and trained with me under Jimmy. And then I did a lot of point fighting too, also. But when I took over to school, I was knee deep. I was teaching 6 days a week, and so it was hard for me to. I was too busy.
I've seen everybody else. Cool. You've got a beautiful school. Now, I tell you what, I'm gonna take a little info break and introduce my dear friend Dr. Lee, and I'm gonna bring you back. We're gonna play the Bloodless Name Game. This is where I hit you a name, whether you know them or not, and you're going to get to talk about them like a fight. 2 minutes, and we'll go to the next name. Next, you ready? I'm going to bring you on in about 10, 15 minutes. Don't go nowhere, okay?
I won't. I'm right here.
Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to the great Andy Walford, and, you know, I'm so excited about what's been happening with the museum, but I tell you what. Dean, AJ, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Dean, where are you at? Dean, quit knocking people out. Get on the
train. Right here.
Guys, here's the most exciting thing I've had tonight besides the people I talked to today. We just got our own magazine. How cool is that? Did you not hear what Auntie Bowen just said? He's going to make a magazine about all you guys, and we're going to debut it October 1st. What are you
that's
doing
awesome.
In your own magazine? Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Man. Now, you can't break any cameras before you get your picture taken, Dean. Now, I'm going to talk to you on in a few minutes. I'm going to work because I bring Dr. Lee on next. But I got a special subject to talk tonight with the Wolverine. So we don't go nowhere. AJ, I'll be right back. Reggie, where you at? Reggie, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here. How you doing?
Hey, Dr. Lee. How are you? Now, I got permission from you to call you Reggie. So I want people
yes,
to listen to know that even though you're a real doctor working in a real hospital dealing with life and death situations, that you also are a martial artist that trained with the great Rick Wigginton, rest in peace. And it came from Rick Shanahan and Ronald Duncan. But you've created something really cool. And it's called SetBR.app. And that's virtual reality, like really unique and different, because we made something that's not only enhancing your martial art ability, but it's educational. And as AJ says, it's fun. So, Reggie, tell people what SetVR is all about and introduce how they would get involved through the headset and the application. Dr. Reginald Lee, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure thing, sir. We're super excited about SetVR. Project is coming into play right now. A lot more people are involved with this. We did ask Marie Shanahan, my marketing director, and also one of my partners to come on board. I'm not sure whether she's on right now. If she is, maybe she can also chime in on this conversation. Marie, are you out there?
Marie
right now?
Here? Are you is Marie here? Marie, are you here?
Okay. Maybe she'll come on a little later on, but she was invited to come on board. She's
you
my
don't
marketing
tease
director and also my partner.
Reggie. You don't tease a Hawaiian bobo like, where's Marie?
Yeah. Well, let me give you a little update on what we're doing. Okay, Marie, how
there
you doing?
There she is.
Hi.
Marie. Marie, come on, Reggie, on the show.
Yes,
hi,
great,
everybody.
Fantastic.
Hi, Reggie. Hi, Gary.
How
hi,
you
everybody.
Doing? How are you?
Hi, Marie. Well,
hi.
Reggie,
doing great.
Introduce Marie again. Introduce
Marie
again. Tell people
yes,
who she is.
My Marie Shanahan is my superstar. She's my marketing director and my one of my partners here. And she's been my co-pilot, helping me out and with this project. And I'm super excited of having her here. Hopefully, Marie knows everybody. She knows Jesse Bowen's here, AJ's here, the Wolverine here, and his guests, and Gary Lee. So we're here to talk about SetVR. So I'm going to talk a little bit.
Reggie, I'm Marie's Ookie. You know what Ookie is? Reggie? Ookie is the Japanese word for assistant.
Rick is here, too. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, Rick Shanahan's on listening as well, sir.
Is Rick
so
here? Hey,
Rick.
Hey, Rick.
I'm making one of my rare appearances there, Professor Wade.
Great, we
Rick
have our team
Marie.
Here.
Cool.
Great, we have our team here.
Marie. Tell people what SetVR, the app, is and how they get involved.
Okay, let me give you a little description. I'll talk very briefly, and then because of the timing of what's allotted to us, I'm going to use that as a segue to introduce Marie's piece in regards to our program. SetVR stands for Self-Defense Enhancement Training in Virtual Reality. So basically, we have I believe, a total package experience, whereby now we have the warm-up program, the workout program, as well as a cool-down program, and also you can evaluate your metrics and how you did in your program. So I'll give you a scenario. Imagine yourself walking down through an alleyway, and in that alleyway you're approached by an individual that will suddenly look at you and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. So if you're in that scenario, Professor Gary likes to use metaphors, so I'll give you a metaphor. If you put your hand on a hot stove, what would you do? Would you think about it, or would you just remove your hand instinctively as a reflex? And that's what SetVR is all about, is to put you in that scenario whereby something that happens to you that is random and is life-threatening attacks you, and that you should be able to reflexively react to it without hesitation. And that's the goal of SetVR, to develop a reflex response without hesitation. The goal of SetVR is to have that ingrained in you and have you perform proficiently on the program. So we have this program all set up for that. So in regards to the piece in regards to the headset, I'll give you a quick synopsis about the evolution of the headset. It all started in 1987. It was first coined as virtual reality. And the first headset was the iPhone 1, which, believe it or not, cost about $9,000 and $400. $9,400. The upgraded version was $49,000. Believe that, $49,000. And then they came out with glove simulators, which cost about $9,000 for interaction with hand controls. Imagine that. Now, so it's been going through a lot, and then it's evolved all the way up to about 2018 when Oculus introduced their headset, and then in Oculus in 2021. Introduced the Oculus 2 headset, and the cost has dropped significantly. The headset now you can buy it at $299 or $399, for 64 gigabytes at $299 and $256. $64 gigabytes, $299, and 256 gigabytes for $399. So in regards to setting up the program, I would like to segue this introduction to Marie Shanahan, and she'll explain a little bit more about the headset and the platform of Facebook and how you could proceed in setting up this program. Marie, it's all yours.
Oh, thanks, Reggie. Well, essentially, well, you really gave a very good description of it. There's very little I can add to it, except that to tell you that today the Oculus 2 is the leading headset in the world. Facebook, it is owned by Facebook, and they are extremely proud of their Oculus Quest. It is light in weight. It is super comfortable. We have the whole legacy of them from the Rift, right, and Rift S, Quest 1 and Quest 2. And I can tell you that they just kept getting better and better. And the Quest 2, as I said, is extremely lightweight, let's say, compared to Quest 1. The graphics on it is absolutely stunning, beautiful. And it's just plain fun, as well as extremely educational. One thing you do have to understand, though, is that when you buy the Oculus, you must set up a Facebook account. Don't panic. You don't have to use it. You don't have to sign on and chat with people if that's not your thing. But it's their way of cataloging and keeping track of all the millions of headsets that they have been selling. So that's the one thing you need to know. You do have to set up a Facebook account, and that's it. I'm very, very simple. An advantage of getting this headset through Facebook, of course, is that you have immediate help should you require it for any reason. And I've had it happen on a couple of apps or programs that I bought that something just went wrong with them. And I contacted the Facebook team, and, the problem was resolved within just a matter of a couple of days. So you want that. When you make a purchase of this size, it feels good knowing that you have a backup of support, and that's what Facebook can offer. As far as our app goes, I have to tell you something. I use it every day. Now, my husband is the martial arts star in our family. I did study under him, and I studied for a very short time under Ron Duncan, Professor Duncan, and that would be martial arts.
Which, by the way, Marie, I have his belt that was given to me by Rick Shanahan and Rick Wiggins.
Yes.
They gave me his 10th degree black belt, and I was, I'm so excited about it. Now, how much does it cost for the application? I think it's like, what, $9.99 or something? Or how,
for the,
is that the cost?
You mean for our app? For the app?
Yes, ma'am.
I think our app is 10. I think it's $9.99 at this point, isn't it, Reg?
Yes, it is, $9.99.
It's very reasonable, extremely reasonable. Most of the games, I have to tell you something, most of the fighting-type genre games out there or apps are close to $30. They can be there's one or two that are for $20, and I know a couple of them are around $25, but most of them, like Creed, Apollo Creed, that one goes for $29.99.
Person can actually get involved with setvr.app by purchasing a headset by $299 and then purchasing the app at $999, and they get involved with it for less than like $310 or whatever. So the bottom line is, compared to what Reggie said earlier, that it cost $9,000 10 years ago or whatever. Compared to that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, here's the other thing that I'm excited to talk to you about, because you are my mentor. Tonight, we're going to get our own magazine for the museum. That's what Hunter is going to do. So I want SetVR to ask. the brochure that we did in Houston. I want that app in there, in that magazine, without a doubt. Now, before you go anywhere, I want to talk to Rick Shanahan. Where's he at? Where's your husband?
I'm right here, Professor. How are you tonight, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
Oh, you know me, man. Another day in paradise, you know, just hanging about.
Well, I can't wait to see you October. And, you know, I've really enjoyed, I want to say this to you, I've really enjoyed talking to Marie, and I know her knowledge, and it's really been a joy to talk to her, and thank you for, you know what we're going to do next year? Next year, when we honor the women, I'm going to say thank you to those women who have been behind the men like you and myself. So we're going to just say thank you to Marie. What do you think about that, sir?
Well, I think behind every great man, there's a woman nagging him to get out of the house. So, yes, absolutely. I think honoring the women that have put up with us in the martial arts and all of the things that we deal with definitely deserve a special place of honor.
Amen. Well, I can't thank you guys enough for being on the show tonight. But, Reggie, introduce my vision, sir.
Yes, our vision is the we have the program out right now. It's the History Portal Demo, and you can connect with that by getting on our website at setvr.app. Just Google it, and then when you get into our website, just scroll down. It'll give you the introduction about what we do and how the programs are. It'll take you through the different phases, the warm-up phase, the workout phase, the cool-down phase, and also looking at your metrics. And if you scroll down, you'll see the history portal demo, whereby you'll be taken to, and if you play the demo, it'll take you back in time to an ancient Japanese village, and you'll be introduced to Professor Gary Lee as the Wisdom Warrior. He'll discuss the program on the history demo, and it'll lead you to the program, and then you'll combat a hologram, and we have depicted it as an ancient Japanese ninja. That will attack you with multiple blades, two blades which are called tantos. So after you defeat the hologram, Professor Gary Lee will introduce you to the history portal. So from there, Professor Gary Lee, can you tell us a little bit about the history portal?
Well, thank you so much. Now, this is in the future, ladies and gentlemen. The vision that we want to do is have the village and you walk through and you'll learn. You'll be educated as you go through it, learning about who is Chuck Norris, who is Gene LaBelle, who is Rick Shanahan, whoever. What is the difference between Tang Soo-Do and Taekwondo? What is the difference between Kung Fu and Kung Fu? You're going to be smarter. Eventually, work out into the forest. There'll be the tigers and the waterfalls and the snakes and the monkeys, whatever virtuality is. But the hologram will appear. You have to fight it, and you will, and you'll beat it. And then the Wisdom Warrior will appear, and they'll say, okay, Marie Shanahan, are you educated? And Marie will go, yes, I am. The Wisdom Warrior will look and say, I'm sorry, Marie. You have to go back. And Marie will have to go back and get smarter and smarter and learn the questions and answers that Dr. Lee and the Wisdom Warrior will put out there. And then she works her way back out into the forest. The hologram appears again. This time it's a samurai with a katana, with a sword, with a wakizashi, a short sword, a tanto, a knife, and you have to defeat it with Okinawa weapons, a nunchuck, a bow, a sai, or a kama, and you will, and you'll beat the hologram. The Wisdom Warrior will appear. And they'll say, Marie, are you educated? This time you are. The Wisdom Warrior will lead you to the gate. The gate will open up. The portals, the history general portals of how, when, where, and who was responsible for karate in America. You not only had fun by learning and enhancing your martial arts, you've gotten educated. You've had a really, really unique experience with something that's never, ever happened before in virtual reality. That is SetVR.app. check it out on Google. Check it out. It's worth it. Trust me. Dr. Lee, I can't wait till next week when I got Rick and Ree and Vince, I hope, and Dave and you all together. And
yeah, we're super really excited about that. Sir. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Definitely. I'm excited. So thank you for surprising me with Marie and Rick. That was so cool. So listen, how's things going in the hospital?
Pretty good. Things are calming down now with the pandemic, and things are opening up,
yes,
as you know, in the cities. Philadelphia is opening a little more. Restaurants are opening a lot more. So we're pretty happy about it. We're getting the economy moving, and you know, we're getting people more vaccinated. So it seems to be going for an upward trend, and we hope to continue that progress.
Well, thank you for having Marie and Rick on. That was really a big surprise, and I'll talk to you soon, and I'll see you next week. Okay, Reggie?
Yes. Thank you, sir. Thank you for having
God bless
us.
You. Well, a few months ago, I got to thinking that I need to really express what this show's all about, and that's to really talk about things that most people wouldn't talk about. Where the best person I thought I could get would be Dean Piles, my student, because he's better known as the Wolverine. He says what he wants to say. He means what he says, and he can back it up. Now, we're going to talk about a subject tonight which is very dear to my heart, because I was very lucky to be on the Sherman Oaks National Karate Team for 12 years. So we're going to be talking about teams tonight with the Wolverine. 3 minutes with the Wolverine. Dean, where you at?
I'm right here, sir. I'm right here.
3 minutes with the Wolverine. Teams. National teams. Go ahead.
You know, teams are a good thing, and teams can be a bad thing. You know, if teams are ran right and they're not controlling the judges, sometimes you call them the mob because they crowd around the ring, and then they're doing all the hollering, and the judges start just going for them. And sometimes teams can be, oh, well, that team is supposed to be the best, whether they actually are or not. But the good thing about teams is it builds a lot of camaraderie. Now, when I think of teams, you know, me and Andy and I are on the League of Angels team together. The team has camaraderie. But, you know, when I think of teams, I think of my school team. And, you know, I like it when schools have teams together because you're getting your skills. A lot of teams, they're put together, but the people that maybe run the team, they've not been the people that train these people, that put the work and the heart and soul into those people. They could be a member of AJ's school, and then they go and get on a team, and then, you know, AJ is not getting the credit. This team is getting the credit, but AJ's the one that did all the work. So, you know, making the student where they are, spending countless hours working with them and making sure that they're good. Now, if you're on a team and they're actually paying your way to competition, covering your motel room, covering your travel and your food, then that's a great thing. You know, but teams, in my opinion, I like it better when teams are out of the schools. That way, you know, martial arts has always been about honor and respecting your instructor and respecting your school. But when you leave your school and get on teams, you're no longer physically representing your teacher. I mean, you are in a way, but a lot of times these people go up and they just say, we have team so-and-so, and they don't even say who their instructor is anymore. That's my only beef with teams. There was a gentleman you had on the show. He had a great idea about teams, and he was writing a book. What was that guy's name? He wrote a book. I forgot
Dexter
his name.
Dexter Brooks from Pumel's Dojo in South Carolina, from Mike Jennifer's Dojo.
Yes, Dexter. He had a great idea, you know, with that. He actually gave me one of his books, and I've been reading it, and he's got great ideas as far as these people paying and covering everything and then being team to, you know, up that game and make it like the NFL or a sports league like that. That would be different, and that would be great because they could say, coming out of, you know, Andy Watford's camp, you know, this guy's been a longtime student of Andy Watford. He now represents team such and such. That would be a great idea.
That's how it should be done, to give back respect. That's why when I say my stuff, anybody that sees me, they love me, they hate me, but they'll never forget me, because I make sure that I go out there and I call out my teachers that went before me, Grandmaster Lewis, yourself, Professor Osensei Earwood. I let everybody know who put that time, who put that work in, and, you know, that's what I represent. So when I do my kata or I'm in sparring, I do it with a different mindset, because I'm not just representing me. I'm just a tool and an instrument.
Well, Dean,
I want to represent what taught me.
I want to say right off in public and on the radio show, I appreciate you, and I'm sure Dewey does too. But I got to put my little two cents in about team. I had a choice back in the early days to either get involved with Michael D. Pasquale, they did the magazine International, or Sherman Raiders. And Butch Tagusawa and Bob Krasny, rest in peace, gave me a choice. And they said, listen, there's three things to be a Raider. One, everybody had to vote you in. That means Alvin Prowler, everybody. No ifs, ands, or buts. Two, and this is very, very important, I thought, was that not only everybody had to vote you in, you had to potentially be able to win a first place or a grand. But the third rule was the best one. You had to be a little crazy. And I thought those three rules just kind of fit my attitude. So I became a writer. For 12 years, I traveled around the world, and I never had to worry about nothing. And the only reason that was the advantage was I didn't have to stress myself out about money. All I could do was train. And, again, I wasn't that good. I was just scrappy. But I was coachable. And that's what I love about a team, that you had a good coach and you were coachable. Now, Wolverine, I'm so proud of the fact that your other alias, Mark Stone, is doing a movie called The Coward. Now, that's a SAG movie, and you've got some really incredible people involved with it. Now, tell me some of the martial artists that you put together, like Mark Shirley and Dan Severin, and name some of them.
Well, we have Rob Buckland, Alan Kelly, Dan Severin. Ernest Miller, we have Andy Watford, we have Andrew Watford, Romel Gard. I can never get Romel's last name right, and I've been knowing him pretty much my whole life. But then again, I'm a redneck, so, you know, people don't expect me to get it right. You know, we've got Alex Piles.
One has enough nerve to call you a redneck. So the only one calls
being said, past weekend, I got to grapple Big John, and, you know, I only grappled Big John because John said he didn't think I knew what I was talking about when it comes to jiu-jitsu. He knows different now since he got tapped out three times in 3 minutes.
How many times did you tap him out?
Yeah, and, then our other fella had to smart off about the brain core and Joe Lewis. So,
how many times did you tap him out?
Three times.
Not one.
Three times in under
two.
3 minutes. I tapped him out with the behind choke. I tapped him out with a standing collar choke. And then I tapped him out on the ground at 3 seconds with the collar choke.
Cool. Well, listen, Wolverine, thank you for 3 minutes. And you have a good night, buddy.
Well,
you've
got a northern up there, too, Dean.
What is
it?
You got a northern in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I got him in there. Yeah, Professor didn't let me finish. He cut me off. I wasn't done. I got a long list, and like I say, Mr. A.J. Perry in there. He plays Gordon. Paul Koala is in there. Jason Brooks is in there. We just added, I seen today that they added Daryl Stewart and Barry Harbin. They're in the bar scene. They're doing something. I don't know exactly what all these people are doing. Garrett Lee, your son, is in there. Colonel Torres is in there. We have it's a who's who smorgasbord. Mr. John Terry is in there.
You know, we just got a lot of people. I talked to Dr. Williams tonight, and because he had put down he wanted to do the auditions and didn't get to make it.
Say it.
But we're filling. Jeez. We're trying to fill all the extra backstory.
Wolverine. Okay.
Yes.
I'm gonna say it. I'm coughing. Congratulations for something that's gonna happen to you in the future. But with that said, I've been talking to the Wolverine 3 minutes. A little bit longer, but it's cool. He's my student. Joe gave him to me, so I can let him talk a little bit longer. But we got to go back to Andy Walford. Andy, are you there?
Right. Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Dean talks a lot, doesn't he? I love him. Okay, anyway, Andy, we're going to play the Legend's Name game. I'm going to say a name, and you got 2 minutes to talk about him. You ready?
Okay.
Ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Okay. Mike Geneva.
Mike Geneva is, he has the coolest mustache and the best sidekick in the business.
Poodle.
Yeah. I've known Mike, oh, my God, over 45 years.
Yeah.
And he has just been a great friend and a cool mentor for me over the years also. And
Keith Vitale.
Mr. Flash. I love Keith is one of the good looking guys in the martial arts. He's kind of bar none, to me, one of the best point fighters of all time, period.
Well, he's a 3-time master karate champion too.
Yes, sir.
He's been to my
school many times and seminars, and he is just a great delight. Yeah.
Okay, what if it's black belt? Mikey Goldman, Hot Dog. You know him?
Hot Dog. Oh, yes, I know Hot Dog. He lives right down the road from my son.
He's one of my favorite friends.
Mike Goldman is such a professional.
Cool. How about Bill Wallace?
Bill Wallace, Superfoot. I've been with him many times. He's been here many times doing seminars. He's just a character. Matter of fact, I got a funny story about Bill Wallace. My son was 3 years old, and Bill was here doing a seminar. Bill kept messing with him, you know, up until the seminar. And then my son, Andrew, was trying to get his attention. Bill kept shooing him away. I got it on video. My son reverse punched him right in the groin and literally put him on the ground. I need to find that and get that out because it is hilarious.
How about Sam Chapman?
Sam Chapman. Oh, my God. Sam is probably one of the most interesting men that I know. He's a Renaissance kind of guy. He's one of the most Christian men I know. He paints. He's a martial artist. He's a philosopher. I mean, he's just...
You realize I lived in his basement for 3 years?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I learned so much from Bobby Tucker and Sam Chapman. It's unbelievable. But you know what? They got me ready for Texas. Because Texas was scary, but it was where I wanted to go to. Because you know what, Andy? I'll tell you this, buddy. I didn't care about the movies. I didn't care about the magazines. I didn't care about the point ratings. I didn't care about any of that. I felt I could go to Texas. And I get people many times without being arrested. Isn't that crazy? So I really felt.
Yeah.
But, you know, Texas allowed me to become whoever, you know, I mean, become Gary Lee because I wasn't that good, but I was very coachable, Andy. I had some great coaches, George McHugh, Pop Scranton, Eric Schumann. I mean, these guys were really amazing. Sid Campbell. You know, I was very lucky. So, now. Thank you for playing the game. How would people get in touch with you if they wanted a private lesson to learn how to boogie and use the commas like you do? I'm just kidding.
I can give out my
Gary. Gary?
They can get in contact with me.
Yeah, well, you know, when he does his comma form, he needs to change his music. He needs to start using, Boy George, comma, chameleon.
Listen, Andy, don't listen to him. He's a Yankee. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
I will pick an Andy song because he does some good dancing, but
the Wolverine busted out some flat footing, and that's hillbilly dancing, and Andy can tell you the
story.
You know what, Wolverine?
Maybe next year I have a dance-off between Andy Walford and
the I let my daughter do dancing. Wolverine don't do good at dancing, but I do feel pretty good flat footing.
You already made a challenge. You are made a challenge.
Nobody's challenged. To sell tickets to your event. The last time
anybody challenged Wolverine,
they got their butt whipped at your event. Two people challenged Wolverine at this last event. Two people left. I'm louder than you.
Listen, what is flat foot? What is that?
It's like they throw stuff down on the ground and shovel their feet around. I got too much stuff to work on flat footing. I'm not flat footing.
It's clog dancing, man.
Hey, Dean, my son Andy can do Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah.
He can really do a good karate version of that. It's pretty funny, actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, You're teaching me, Dean. I don't know what flat footing is. AJ, you ever heard of flat footing before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's clog dancing.
It's a Blue Ridge Mountain thing.
Andy, you
it's
a flat footing too?
It's Appalachian dancing.
I've been
living
underneath a rock, I guess.
Yeah.
No, you don't know these technical things. These technical things here, you don't know anything about.
Professor.
Yeah. That's why we have the radio show, Professor, to educate people.
There you go. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, my special guest tonight was Andy Walford, and, of course, my co-host, the Wolverine, alias Mark Stone, alias Dean Piles, and my Yankee friend, who is a Tang Suzo master, A.J. Perry. And we're in your homes every Tuesday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And if you missed us on the live show, you can go to Google, type in AMAA Radio, type in the date, and just type in Professor Gary Lee, and the show will be there. Now, tonight was a fun show. As you always say, every week, mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Good night.
Ronaldo. Go ahead. He's an asshole either way. The only thing that was good. Okay, the surgeon.